Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
Are you listening to somebody teach the word and you listen to somebody talk about good things and exciting things? But there's another thing to get a revelation from God. And I believe what that takes is, it doesn't take us having to do anything to receive a revelation. It just takes us, it takes an open heart, and it takes a ready-to-receive attitude to have a revelation to receive that. So what I speak tonight, and what I want to share with you guys, you know, it might not be applicable for apps everybody, but how do you know, like, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your own situation in a unique way? And that's what's awesome, because no matter who you listen to, I mean, within sound doctrine and true teaching, whoever you listen to, you can receive anything. So I might not be the most qualified person to be up here, and I might be a pretty young guy. I'm only 20. So for those of you, I'm not really that far out from high school. But I truly believe with all my heart that God has something for you tonight in this message and for your future. So whatever that looks like, I can't tell you what that's going to look like. I can just be up here, and I just pray God uses me to speak through you tonight. But I want to read something to you. Tonight I'm talking about vision. I want to read something to you, read a passage to you. This is in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is, it can be intimidating. It can be an intimidating thing, because we hear about Jesus in the New Testament. The Old Testament is before Jesus. And God chose a group of people called the Israelites. And he chose them to stand out, to be different. Not to be different because being different is cool, but to be different because they worship the living God and the true God. When idol worship and all these other crazy things, they'd sacrifice people and these things in different religions, but God wanted to call out a people for him. I think that relates to us in a way that he's calling out a generation, and in this time where there's some crazy stuff out there, man. I mean, you guys see it daily. There was a king, his name was Saul, and this is a Bible story. You can find this in the Bible, but his name was Saul, and he was a good king, but the importance of a king was they needed a leader that would listen to God. The importance of a king was they were there to lead and to take them in different places, and to ultimately the end goal was to create a nation that Jesus obviously would come out of. And they needed, God was working through this people through a leader. They needed a strong leader. It was crucial. And they had a leader, and his name was Saul. Now, Saul began to lose it. He was a great leader. He had the grace of God in his life, and the Holy Spirit was on his life, and he was doing great things. But he had a little bit of a midlife crisis, Solomon did, and he began to lose it. He began to hurt people. His leadership began to fall apart and crumble. So the word of the Lord came to a man, a lot of names, bear with me. His name was Samuel. And he called Samuel out to find somebody new to lead this people. And this is an important, this is a world movement. He was calling to find a leader, a world movement. Now I'm going to read this to you. I don't know if it's up there, but you can follow along. This is 1 Samuel 16. Just listen. You don't have to write anything down or anything like that. Just listen. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you've mourned long enough for Saul, because he was hurting. He's like, what is going on? God said he would do this, and this is falling apart. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil, which is to anoint somebody back in the Old Testament, and go to Bethlehem. He said, you've been waiting long enough. And some of us in here today, we've been waiting long enough for things to look a certain way, or for situations to be perfect, to move on, or to forgive, or to actually start stepping into the call of God in our lives. Because, oh, well, when I get to college, or when I'm a senior in high school, or next year, or when I have an opportunity. No. You have to pick up your flask, pick up your oil, and go. And go where God's calling you. We can't wait for the perfect. It's never going to be perfect. We always think the grass is going to be greener in a little bit, or when things get better. But now's the time, guys. We have to understand that now's it's never going to look perfect. Let's continue reading. He said, find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he's going to kill me. So if he finds out I'm going to try to get somebody to take his place, dude's going to get killed. That's pretty simple. Take a heifer with you, or a female cow. I didn't know what that was. I was like, what's a heifer, man? I don't know the old language. I don't know. I mean, this is a new translation. The Lord replied, and say that you've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. There was some covert op going on. He said, pretend you're doing this. Not again. This happened last time. Not again. invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did. Samuel went to find the person. God pointed him in a direction for the family to find a king, to find this person that would lead Israel, a broken nation that had disobeyed God over and over again. But God is faithful. He called somebody else out, and this is what he did. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of that town came trembling to meet him. They said, "What's wrong?" Because they knew when he showed up, there was something going on. "What's wrong?" they asked. "Do you come in peace?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." My own translation. "Yeah, I do." Samuel replied, "I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Because back then, Jesus hadn't come, so they needed an animal to put the sins of the people into the animal, and they would sacrifice it. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse, which was the family where this king would come from, and his sons invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab. He took one look at Eliab, the son, and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." What they don't tell you is this was probably one of the oldest sons, because in that culture, the young really didn't get any inheritance. It was the eldest son that would get the brownie points, this is going to get my money. When I die, it's going to the oldest son. The business would go to the oldest son. The business would go to the oldest son, because that's how the culture worked back then. So if you were the oldest son, if you were the biggest person, the oldest brother, and you were at the head of the family, like, you got everything. But this is interesting. Listen to this. He said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." He was probably tall, good looking. He probably had everything going for him. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." Not rejected him as like, I don't want him to do great things for me, but he wasn't fit to be king. Lord doesn't see things the way you see them, Samuel. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What a statement. I don't have it highlighted up there, but if you were to highlight something, that's what I would highlight. How do we see people in our schools right now? Because I'll tell you what, when I was in middle school and high school, man, I thought if somebody like had stuff going for them, like, that's awesome. They're going to do great things. But I didn't see potential in people who didn't look like much. And I felt like I didn't look like much. I felt like I was the youngest in the family, if you had to compare it to that. But the Lord doesn't see things the way we see them. He sees things differently. And I want you to understand that. Ask God to just transform your heart to see things the way he does, because he sees them differently. And sometimes we're masked by our own, how we were raised, or our own ideas of people. But that's dangerous, because God sees potential in people. The dude sitting over in the corner not talking to anybody, the person sitting by himself, the person that seems a little weird. God loves him just as much, and he sees just as much potential as he sees is the guy who's in awesome shape, super good looking and tall and knows everybody. Jesse, I'm almost done. Bear with me, guys. I know it's standing for a long time. But Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward, walk in front of Samuel. He said, "Next." He's not the one. I'm guessing the dad was like, "What the heck? This dude, he looks like me. This is the man." He's like, no, not that guy. Unfortunately, it's not going to be him today, sir. Shemaiah, other sons, because neither is this one the Lord has chosen. All seven of his sons came, passed by, and said, "Nope, none of those are them. Lord has not chosen any of these." And Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" Because God said, "It's one of these people." He goes, "Are these all the sons you have?" Because the Lord's not doing anything. He's saying, "That's not the person." "They're still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats." That sucks. The youngest. He's probably, I think, honestly, guys, he was probably, I think, like preteen, like 12 or 11 or 12. And I'm sure dad was like, "He's definitely not going to." First of all, he's the youngest. Second of all, he's young, and he's watching dumb animals. Like, he's watching animals out in a field. Like, who? What is this guy doing? But the Lord doesn't see things the way we see things. He's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down and eat until he arrives." God was calling him out of the field. I don't know where you're at right now, but a lot of times I feel like we can compare that field to what school feels like. High school feels like, kind of feels kind of dull sometimes, there's exciting moments, there's things you look forward to. But this person, his name's David, and he was being faithful with what God had given him in that time. He's being faithful, doing the mundane, happy in the mundane. He wasn't expected, how in the world would he have expected to become one of the greatest men that we read in the Bible today? The greatest. Zach just came out here and just shared a word from David. 10 years old, something like that, 10 years old. So Jesse sent for him, and he came, and this is funny. I think this is funny. Listen to this. Jesse said, "He was dark and handsome and had beautiful eyes." I think that's funny. I don't know why, because the Lord said he doesn't judge by the outside appearance, but Samuel obviously didn't listen to that. But he had beautiful eyes. Man, tell the person next to you beautiful eyes. I think that's funny. Look him right in the eyes. That's going to, okay. I don't know what the result of that's going to be, but we'll see. We'll see a lot more relationships after tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Finishing up here, guys. Finishing up here. So David stood there among his brothers, all seven of the good-looking tall men and the oldest. He stood there among his brothers, and Samuel took the flask of olive oil. He brought it and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day. If you accept Jesus as Lord in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Spirit came on David's life in that moment. And that's exactly why I'm telling you this story, because we can all relate to David. We can all relate to where David was in this moment. And most of us are still in that season where we're just waiting. We're like, I'm still in high school. What does God have for me? God has a vision for you and for your life. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, is a vision. He has a vision for you. He has a plan and a purpose that's unique to you, and a call in your life that's unique to you that you don't even see. Because David, all he saw was he saw poop. He probably saw hair. He probably saw hay, feed, and the animals. That's all he saw. He didn't see robes. He didn't see servants. He didn't see nations bowing down. He didn't see conquering. He didn't see, honestly, maybe he didn't even see God. But God was growing and working on him. So God has a vision for your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you. I'm honored to stand here in front of what you're doing, a move. This is revival, Father, and I'm so thankful to be up here. God, thank you so much for each and every one of these young men and women here today that came out on their weeknight to hear from you, God, to listen, to hear, to receive, and an expectation that you would do something in their life. And maybe some of us came tonight without that, but Father, I thank you, Lord, that you got some amazing plan to receive tonight. They have something from you tonight specifically to receive. And I just thank you, Father. Thank you for your great love. I pray they would know and explore and feel your great love as we talk tonight, Father. Speak to their hearts, minister to us and myself, Father. We just thank you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, you can finally have a seat. Thank you. I hope your legs are feeling quite fatigued. Thank you, Ellie. Oh, man. I'm excited, man. This is good. I'm honored to be up here in front of you guys today. Wow, this is weird. This is a big gap in here, man. I feel far away. Man, y'all look good tonight. I'm not just saying that. So, not long ago, this is like 2 weeks ago, I was actually, we went down to, anybody know about Amplified Church? Amplified Church? I got some cheers. Okay, that's more than I thought. I thought nobody would know Amplified Church. So a couple weeks ago, we actually went down to, they had something called Church at the Point. And I don't know, do you guys know where the Point is in Pittsburgh? It's a big fountain at the, kind of like where Point Park University is. And we went down there, and what they do is they host church, a church service. So they have two services of worship, praise and worship. They have a message, and people get baptized in the river, which is quite honestly, I don't diminish that. It is the last place I wanted to get thrown in water because the river is nasty. But God is good. It's holy water. But people were getting baptized. It was really, really cool. So we went down. We drove down. I know Dan was in the room, but Adam, I went down with Daniel and Adam. Here's a picture, actually. Good timing. It was pretty. It was awesome. The sun was setting. We were second service. There was one before that, but obviously this was the anointed one because it was so pretty. And Roethlisberger. No, it was beautiful, man. It was such a cool time. It was a lot of fun. But when we were on our way down, we were kind of get lost. I wasn't driving, for the record. I'm not going to say he was, but my buddy was driving, and we took a long walk. We parked somewhere far away, and we took probably a mile and a half, 2 mile walk. So we finally got down there. It was beautiful, but how many of you know church makes you hungry, right? I mean, come on. After this, I'm hungry. I was hungry after that. And Pittsburgh has some really good restaurants. A lot of expensive ones, but I can't afford expensive. But you found a good restaurant. So church had ended, the church at the Point, amazing service. We started walking back with our group, and I'm like, this is going to be a long walk. I'm so hungry. I felt like I was like losing weight. I was so hungry. And we were walking back, and they had offered, a group of people had offered, hey, let us drive you back to your car. Friends offered to drive us back to our car, which is pretty far away. And I was like, absolutely, thank you so much. But I don't know if you guys know Adam. Adam and Daniel were like, no, it's only an 8-minute walk. Okay, whatever. So instead of arguing, we just went. And man, we started walking. It was getting dark. So it was after this. It was dark. It was a Sunday night in Pittsburgh in the middle of the city. And I didn't think Pittsburgh was like, I mean, it's not like bad. It's not like Chicago where there's a lot of like dangerous things. But it's a little sketchy. And we were walking, and I saw, I'm not going to say what I saw, but we just saw some weird things, man. And those, we saw some really weird things. I can't even say what we saw, but we were walking, and we began to kind of look at the GPS, and you really use an Apple GPS. For some reason, that little dot that points you where you're going, it was like spinning around like this. So we're walking, and we're just like, this looks like a grid off like a math chart of the city, that's how it's built. It looks like a grid. And we're like, okay, we'll just keep walking. So our 8-minute walk turned into 40 minutes, and we went all the way to PPG Paints Arena from the point. If you don't know, that's actually the opposite side of the city from that picture. So we walked all the way there. We actually passed our restaurant twice. We were going to drive there. We walked past it twice. By the time we could have gotten there, just walking it. And then we walked back to our car. We were fighting. We were arguing. But anyways, we got lost in Pittsburgh. We got angry. We were upset with each other. But the moral of the story is, you need some direction. You need some clear direction. And you need good direction in your life. And that's exactly the story of David here. I titled my message. Are you all taking notes tonight? Because Ben always says, note takers are history makers. So I've been taking notes. But you don't have to. But if you're going to title this message, it's called 2020. 2020. And if you don't know what 2020 means, it's a method of measurement for our vision. A clear vision is 2020. If you're 2015, you're really good. And if you have 20, like 40, you probably need glasses. No, you do need glasses. Why do we need a vision for our life? Why is this an important part of what God has called us to do? Because quite honestly, there's enough going on in high school that there's a lot of, you know, homework tests, things like that, sports, things are going on. We're just trying to enjoy a high school career. Why do we need a vision? Well, Proverbs 29:18 says, read this. It says, this might be a little bit different translation, but it means the same thing. Without revelation, people run wild, but one who listens to instruction will be happy. Another translation says, without vision, a people perish. So whether we want to or not, God has a vision for your life. So whether we believe that or not, he does. He has a vision. And for those of you that we've trusted Jesus, he has that vision available for us. But we also need to have a vision statement for our life. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have, like, note cards on your wall or your bedroom wall that says, okay, this is my vision statement, wake up every day. But God will give you specific statements on your heart to pursue. He'll give you certain visions to pursue in your life. And he's put passions inside of you. Now, a lot of you might say, like, I don't know what I'm eating tomorrow for breakfast, or I don't know what I'm doing after school. I don't know what college I'm going to. I don't even know what I'm going to be doing in high school. And it can be kind of tasking. There's a lot of stuff that happens. But I got good news. I got good news for you tonight that we don't have to figure out our God-given vision. We don't have to figure it out. I hope that's reassuring because God has already lined up things for you, and he will put passions in you that you don't already have. I want to read this verse. I don't know if it's next page or not, but Psalms 37:4. Listen to this. This is good. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when I read that, I thought, like, okay, so I want a nice car. I want a good job. I want to get married one day. And quite honestly, there's a lot of things I want, and there's a lot of things that I like. I want a new pair of NMDs, or I don't know, you name it. I don't know if NMDs are even cool anymore, but I like them. But I want these things. And I read that as if, like, God was going to be kind of like a personal genie and like, okay, God, if I believe in you, you're gonna make these things happen. And don't get me wrong. God wants good things for you. He wants a prosperous life for you. He wants a fulfilling life for you. And he wants to give you things that you like because he knows what you like. He made you. He understands that. But the thing about this verse is it got a transformation in my heart. There's kind of a revelation to this verse that I got. And instead of saying, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, he will give you your desires of your heart. He will plant desires in you as you walk with him. I'll give you an example. I did a Bible study when I was in high school. And I went to North, anybody who went to North Hills, anybody North Hills in here? That's like that way. It's like NA's little brother that never gets mentioned. All right, so I went to North Hills, and it's a good school. It's a large school, not as big as NA, but I felt like it was after I was in 10th grade. I remember I went to camp, and I remember God had changed, did something crazy in my life. I was like, God, I want all of you. I don't want to, you know, I was kind of like, I was younger, but I really made that decision for myself to follow God. So I was in 10th grade. I had made that decision. And I just felt like God was calling me to start a Bible study the next year. I was going to my junior year of high school. And I was like, no, but first of all, I had like a group of friends in school, but not a lot of people knew me. I wasn't like somebody everybody knew, or like people saw me probably, but they didn't know me. I got a burp, sorry. Okay, we're good. And I wasn't like a cool kid or anything, and that's right there is probably an example of why. But I felt like God was telling me, he said, Cody, I want you to start a Bible study coming this next year. And I'm like, first of all, that wasn't even on my heart before. Like, he had transformed what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the military. I probably shared this before. I was like ready to go to Afghanistan and fight my heart out for, I didn't know why. I just thought it would be cool to go to war, and that's just my person. I wanted to do something crazy. But God, I heard him, he puts in my heart, like, ministry, okay, what does that mean? And then I started to unlock things. I started to read my Bible more. But after that camp experience, I felt him say, he's like, Cody, I want you to start a Bible study. I want you to go in your school and make a difference for me. And I said, okay, Lord, okay. So I took that, received that, and I went home, and I began to read the Word, and I began to write, like, I went to the book of James because I knew it was, like, a pretty short book. And it's good to start with the short books, because if you go look at Leviticus, it's intimidating. It's like, I don't know how many pages. It's a long book. Okay, I looked at a short book. I took notes. And I look back at those notes, and I, like, broke down. I don't do this now. Let me warn you. Okay, to prepare this message, there's scriptures I use. But back then, I, like, took James, and I outlined it in depth. And I have, like, a notebook full of, like, an outlined scripture. And I look back, I'm like, what the heck? I did that? Like, I couldn't believe I did that. It was really in depth. But I didn't have that desire at all before that. I wanted a whole different path, vision for my life. And I was young, of course, but I was around your age. So, like, I was like 15, 16. And he put that desire. So I go and I try to start it. And before I get to that, I want to share you a few thoughts. But I want to encourage you. He's going to put something in your heart. If you trust him and you run with him, he's going to give you a desire or something in your heart that you may not have before, but it's from him directly. And says, this is what I want you to do. And there's three things we need to find that kind of vision. First one, y'all ready? Build some tension. The first one, we need passion. Passion, passion, passion. Follows up the scripture, delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He will give you passions, and you have passions inside of you. Who plays sports in here? That's a passion that you have. You say, oh, hopefully, or you're forced to play sports. Sorry if that's the case, but there's a passion inside of you, and God will place things just like that. Like, man, I want to do well in football. He'll put a desire in your heart. Like, man, I want to run with the Lord in this area. Just like he did, he will put a passion. It is crucial. It's crucial that we understand that it's okay to be passionate about things. I feel like in the church today, some churches, they preach like, okay, you want to be, you know, falling with God, but don't be crazy, or don't do anything that's going to make Jesus look bad. You know what I mean? Like, don't have some kid who doesn't know anybody goes try to start a Bible study and pull things, you know, like, oh, God loves you. No. He's got passions inside of you that are they're validated by him, because you didn't have them in you before. They're new. There's a verse that says God's doing a new thing. He will do a new thing in your heart when we trust him. Number two, point two. I have memorized, don't worry. Faith. We find God's vision, one, when we have passion. We find God's vision, too, when we have faith. I will continue my Bible study story now. We were in high school, started the Bible study, a lot of things going on. I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I knew God had me start a Bible. I knew he was like, do it. So I go talk to people, and there's already a Bible study. Ooh, that sucks. Like, what the heck, God? He told me to go start one. I knew it was from you. Now, at this point, you're probably like, Cody, that wasn't really God. It was just your own idea. But wait, there's more. I go and, like, they let me speak at the first. They let me, like, lead the Bible study at the first meeting. It was, like, at a coffee shop off campus. So I go and I lead it, and I did absolutely terrible. I sucked. I walked in there, and it was, like, 20 people in a small little room. Like, it was almost like a closet-sized room. And it was, like, a little bit of size like a bedroom. And there was 20 people in there, and it was really hot, and the light was really bright like it is now. And I had my Bible, and I had, like, a little lesson put together, and I was shaking. I was, like, shaking. I was opening it. I said, the Lord, let's read what the Lord has. I opened up in prayer. It was so boring, dude. If I was listening to myself, I probably never came back. It was really bad. Anyways, time went on. There began some drama. Like, they wouldn't have the Bible study, but I wanted to have it. I said, God wants to do this. He's like, okay, well, I'm not doing it. I'm like, I don't know what to do. You're the leader. Eventually, that person stopped leading the Bible study, and he came up to me one day. This is like weeks. So I'm like kind of disappointed. I'm like, oh, am I going through school? I'm starting new classes. I'm like, this is so much. He comes up to me, and he goes, Cody, he goes, I know you're really passionate about this. He goes, and I just wanted, I'm just going to give it, you can have it. You can have the Bible study. I'm like, wow, God, thank you. I'm starting to see this vision come to pass. And I'm like, thank you, God. This is awesome. I can't wait. So I got fired up. I made pamphlets. I handed them out, and I go. And I'm so excited for this Tuesday because I'm like, this is going to be the Bible study of a lifetime. And I go and I show up and I'm waiting and I have like, you know, the date and the time, making sure I told people the right time. A lot of people heard about it and then nobody came. So I'm like, okay, well, it's mine now. Nobody came. But I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay because guess what? God, I'm believing God. I'm having faith that I see what God's doing. I just don't see it right now, but I have faith. This is starting to come together. God's showing me things. And I continue going week after week. I would go and nobody would show up. But instead, this isn't to promote myself, but instead of being sad or being, oh, I mean, granted, I was kind of disappointed. I said, this is going to be a time where I'm going to grow with God. I'm going to listen to a podcast or something. I'm going to treat this time as if it was a Bible study. Nobody shows up. At least I got three people, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Come on. That's funny. It's true. So I spent time with Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in a Buddhist coffee shop. And for weeks, it started in November, for weeks. So I started and I just knew the Lord had something, man. You just know, God will give you something. You'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's what God gave you. You'll know it. And nothing will shake that. It's not denial. It's just you just know that it's not from you. So you can't deny it because it's like, this is from God. So I continue to go. November comes by. After Christmas break, by that time, I was really disappointed because I'd have like one person and then I would leave because I'm like, okay, well, obviously, I either scared them away or this isn't from God. I'm like, what's going on? After Christmas, I started to see people come and I connected with somebody who was like, his heart was to start. He was looking not to start, but just to get in a Bible study. God's like, I really feel like God's called me to be in a Bible study. I'm like, well, I think I have the answer. I think I have God's voice for you. Here's what Hebrews 11:6, I know I just jumped into that, but here's what Hebrews 11:6 says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. Sorry to typo my notes. He rewards those that earnestly seek him. So we have to believe. Okay, that's one thing, but then we have to, what God has given us, we have that passion, like, oh my God, this is what he's given me. Then we need to have faith that that's going to come to pass. We have to have faith that he's going to keep his promises that he's given us, not only to us personally, but in his word. And so Christmas came around, and things were going pretty good, and I started to have people come into the Bible study. And it started to take off, and God would give me things. And then my buddy, his name was Andrew, he would lead it. God would use it. He did some really cool stuff that I would have never thought of, like we did. Really cool things together. And that was faith. It's that simple, guys. Faith is literally sitting there when nobody's there and seeing your vision come to pass when right in front of your eyes, there's nobody there. Now, a lot of you might think like, oh, okay, well, Cody, well, faith doesn't seem very much fun. And you know what? I look back, I'm like, man, that wasn't very fun. I wonder why God had me do that. But let me tell you, this is revelation. I was just thinking about it this week. And now I know why I was thinking about it. We're going to go through, or how about this? A lot of times we hear when people, they're like, oh, Christianity is hard, and there's going to be hard seasons, and there's going to be hard times, and that, you know, we say following Jesus, you know, life ain't going to be perfect. I'm like, well, that's kind of depressing. Why would I, like, that doesn't sound like I would want to do that if there's going to be hard times and hard seasons. But here's something God gave me, I swear. He said, you know, those things are going to come either way, so you either walk through them without me, or you walk through them with me. So we can't avoid the heart. We can't avoid the heartache. We can't avoid the trials, but we can approach it in a different perspective, in a different light. So I couldn't avoid nobody. I couldn't avoid people not coming. I couldn't avoid that. That's unavoidable. But instead of trying to do it by myself, I knew God was going to develop the vision. And how much easier was it when I just stopped worrying and said, God, I trust you. I trust you. So it may sound kind of troubling, like, oh, faith sounds hard. And it is hard. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot harder without him than it is with him. So I'd much rather walk through trials and have faith with God than without him. Third point. This is the catch. So forget everything I said. I'm just kidding. Don't forget everything I said. This is the catch. We must hear from God. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like, oh, like, the Lord's going to come down. I'd be like, I don't know who's in here right now. Jake, I'm calling you to be D1 football player. Go. It's not going to sound like that, unfortunately. I wish it did. But we have to learn to hear from God. And how does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. And when you trust God, when you made him Lord of your life, when you said, Jesus, I need you. I make you Lord of my life. I trust in you. Like Romans 10, I'm going to read Romans 10, 9. I don't have it up there when I read it. I'm guessing more than one of you have probably prayed this prayer. And I hope. I know, actually, you guys have. Romans 10, 9. This is like the salvation verse. But it's a good one. And it's important. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, usually we use that for an altar call, but and it is. We do use it for an altar call. But it explains when you do that, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and then you are ready. And it's on your mark. He's not going to force you to go after and do what he's called you to do. He's not going to force you to get vision from him. But if, for those of you that have made this decision, it's waiting. For those of you who aren't in it, you're one of two people. You're one of three people. You either have God in your life, and you feel like God has something for you, but you're not sure yet. Or you're a person that has God, and you're in it, and you're doing some crazy things, and you know, like, this, I'm on God's path, I'm doing what he's called me to do, it's challenging, I'm growing my faith. Or you don't have a relationship with God, and you're kind of unsure what I'm talking about. We all want to be that person that says, yeah, I have a relationship with God. I'm growing. I'm challenged. I'm growing in my faith. Oh, it's getting late, folks. Oops. I want to tell you why these things are important. We got to hear from God, because without hearing from God, without having a relationship with him, you cannot, you listen to me. I'm serious. Like, without having a relationship with God, you won't fulfill, you can't fulfill the purpose he's called you for. And that's obvious. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe he's planned for you, you're not going to fulfill it. But there's also a way to believe in God and be stagnant. Like Zach was, it's so funny, Zach, God put that in your heart, because that's exactly what I'm talking about right now. We can have a stagnant walk with God, and we can go throughout our day in a mundane way and expect nothing because we can't really see excitement. No. God has something for you right now in your school, in ninth grade, as a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, senioritis kicks in, right? You're like, oh, I just want to get out of here. And as a senior this year, maybe it's your last year of school, you're like, well, it's too late. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell, man. It ain't too late. I'm just going to be blunt with you, man. Come on, it ain't too late. I'm a very direct person sometimes. I'm sorry. We need to have a relationship with God in order to fulfill the passion and have the passion and to have the faith. In order to have those two that I just listed, when we find God's vision, when we have passion, when we have faith, but ultimately it's when we hear from God and a spark ignites like that. Spark ignites. In your heart, and all it takes is a call on him. And maybe you have been stagnant. Maybe you've been kind of living for God. You say, hey, I'm living for God. This is the time, man. Now's the time. Like, we're in a revolution. Okay, I know we want revival in the city of Pittsburgh. We want revival in our schools. And let me tell you something. You're not going to believe me, but I'm going to tell it to you because I want to tell you the truth, even though you don't believe me. We are in the midst of revival right now. Right now, there's no music behind me, right? But we are in the midst of revival. And if I could have Ellie come out and put some music behind me, because we're about to fire some revival up. Thanks. I made her play twice today. I feel kind of bad. But to fire some revival. We are revival. We're in the midst of it. We don't have to go to some tent meeting and have some guy yell at us stuff we already know. We need to go and do it. We need to go step out. David, y'all know who David is, right? Do I have to tell the story of David and Goliath, or do y'all have like a pretty good understanding? I'm going to assume you guys already know about David and Goliath. Okay, man, come on, dude. Oh, jeez. I was building up too. You just ruined my momentum. No, David and Goliath, David had passion. He had faith, but at first he heard from God. God gave him a vision. He said, David, you're going to be the king of Israel. Now, David was an armor bearer, so he would bring stuff. He was a servant, dude. He was the grunt. grunt boy. He'd bring stuff to people. So he was starting his next job. And we could say maybe it's like working at Chick-fil-A or McDonald's. Okay. He was working at Chick-fil-A. David was working at Chick-fil-A and serving people like Zach, who has very specific orders. But he saw a vision that God gave him. And therefore, he had passion. So he heard from God, he had passion, and he had faith. And the faith came in when he faced Goliath, face to face, and bopped him in the head. He bopped him in the head with a slingshot. Because, by the way, Goliath was really tall, really strong, scary dude. David took him faith to do that. Next, David's in his next season of life. I say probably in his 20s now, and he's serving the king, Saul, who is off his rocker, man. That dude's a little wacky. He's a little wacky. He's killing people. He's doing things he shouldn't be doing. He's taking people. He's ruining this country. And God's like, David, I called you to be the king. And God's like, David, what are you doing? You're just sitting there. You're being faithful. What the heck? No. He said, you're doing good, David. Stay where you're at. He's promoting him. So God promoted him to his next tier. Now it's to be a servant to Saul, the crazy guy. And David had multiple opportunities. I don't have the scripture because it's long. David had an opportunity as he worked for Saul. He found him sleeping in a cave one day. I don't know how. You'd have to read the story. I forget how he found him in a cave, but he found him in a cave. And in that moment, he had a weapon in his hand. And it says in the scripture that he could have killed him in that moment. But instead, what David did, instead of rushing God's plan, he had faith and he cut a piece of his robe off. And he held it and he put it in his pocket. And then when Saul was trying to kill him, he said, I could have killed you long ago, but I know God has a plan and a purpose. He's gonna fulfill it. And then finally, we do see David anointed as king after all this crazy stuff that I don't have time to go through, crazy stuff. But he heard from God. He had passion and he had faith, and it brought him out. I have a friend from work. I work at Starbucks, if those of you don't know. I have a friend from work. Thank you, man. Thank you. I brought him to church because I don't want to say like arrogant, like, oh, I brought him to church. But I witnessed to him and I wanted to be a light because I knew he was struggling with some stuff, and I brought him. And he came to main service on a Sunday, and he, man, I touched his heart. I didn't expect a lot out of this man, but I just was like, it's going to take some time. And he came and immediately his life was changed. Immediately life changed. You could see that in his eyes and the way he acted. He no longer, like, it's crazy. I wish he was up here to show you, but he started to be a light like I was, like in my work, in like a week. I've been a Christian for a while. Like, I'm trying to do things. My man starts telling people about Jesus, like, you know what I mean? In a week, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this man. And thank you that I got to know him, and thank you for using me to be able to help him to find you. This man invites me. He's my age, this man. Brother invites me to come to his church. He's like, man, I feel like God's telling you to come to my church today or on Sunday. And I'm like, 2 weeks in, the dude's already like hearing God. I'm like, this is awesome, man. Wow. So I go to church with him, and he goes to a small little church where I live. And I didn't, honestly, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I know God said, you know, like, told him to bring me to church, but it was such a small church. I'm like, oh, it's gonna be one of those boring services. I mean, when you go to church like this and you go to another church like that's not really like very big, it can get kind of boring. I mean, it's just boring. You're just like, what the heck? You guys aren't having fun. Jesus is fun. They don't understand that. Well, this church was good. It was actually a very, very good church. It was fun. It was kind of like ours, but a very smaller, much smaller setting. And I listened to the message would be good. I'm like waiting for like, why did God tell you to bring me here, dude? Like, I could be like having my Sunday off because I went to church. It was the second time. I'm like, why did God bring me here? I'm waiting, and I'm kind of just staying humble. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to enjoy the service. And I'm like, message was good. And he whispered, he's like, did you like the message? I'm like, dude, yeah, it was really good. It was good. It was a good message. The pastor was awesome, great heart. Church was good. And we were getting ready to leave. I'm like, well, it was good. I don't know what God wanted from that, but it was good. But I was standing in the lobby, and I saw. And now after the senior, I was after I graduated high school. You guys will experience this. You're in denial right now, but you will lose a lot of your friends. And not friends here, but friends from school specifically. Here, I'd say you have a much better chance of keeping those relationships because they're knit around Jesus. But like in school, a lot of people you're going to leave behind, man, just because they go off. You can't help it. They go off to school. They do different things. And I hadn't seen buddy I led with. His name was Andrew. And I hadn't seen him in like 3 years probably after that. And I was like, I saw him in the corner. I'm like, Andrew, like, what's up, dude? And he came over. He came right over to me. He's like, Cody, what's up? He gave me a hug. We had a little reunion. I was like, this is awesome. He said, dude, because the Bible study. I'm like, the Bible study, yeah. He goes, it's doing so well. He goes, we have 25 plus people coming on a night. We had to move it from the coffee shop into the basement of our church. And I was like, man, like, oh, God, like, that's awesome, dude. Like, I'm not a crier, dude. Like, I don't cry. But I started crying, man. I started holding it in. I was like a man cry. I was like trying to hold it in, like not letting him know I'm crying, but I was crying. And I was like, dude, that's so great to hear that. But that's what God wanted me there for, just to see that the vision come to pass. The vision came to pass that day. Or that moment I saw that the vision was passed. It took hearing from God, a word from God to do something in my school. It took passion to pursue it, and it took faith to trust him that it was going to come out so much greater than I imagined. And boy, did it. God wants that in your life today, guys. I'm going to wrap up. For those of you that have a relationship with the Lord, that's awesome, man. He's ready for you. Are you ready for him? That's the question. God doesn't have to prepare for us. He has things prepared for us, but he never has to prepare for us. He's ready for you to step out and do something for your school. And I would say other things too, your work maybe, but school, you're forced to be there. You don't get a choice. You don't get a choice to go to school, or you get arrested or something like that. I don't know. You get charges. I don't know. Anyways, you're forced to be in this environment. What are you going to do? And I know when I speak a lot, I say, God's going to do something for you in the school, but God wants to give you a personal revelation. That's how it comes to be. Because I say, I want you to make a difference in your school, but it comes through personal revelation. It comes through hearing from God. It comes through personal revelation, and it comes through a passion he's going to lock inside of you to reach people at your school. But you need a relationship to hear from God. Without a relationship, the other two steps really just, they're cool. They sound good, but they're really not applicable unless you have a relationship with God. So I'm not going to have you guys bow your heads tonight or anything like that. This is a celebration moment. For those of you that do know Jesus, and you just feel like, man, like, I'm ready. It's time. I want to give you an opportunity moment. I want to hear from you. But for those of you that don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you guys to listen to me for a second. There's something greater to live for than just yourself. And I know at this time in life, it just seems like you just want to do good for yourself. And it's good to do good for you. It's good to want to grow and to learn. But God has something far greater for you. God has something that's bigger than yourself. It's bigger than what you can imagine. And sometimes it can be a little scary. But it's the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do in your entire life, hands down. You can ask anybody who's ever given their life to Jesus. You will never regret it. But I want to give you an opportunity tonight. It's simply just to say, yeah, I want that. This isn't for people who are, this is specifically people who say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus and I want a relationship with Jesus. I just want you right now, it's not going to be anything, like, I'm not going to like try to make my words sound good. Literally, if you want to do something, if you're tired of living for yourself, if you're tired of living for the world, if you're tired of feeling depressed, anxious, whatever it may be, there is an opportunity to live for something far greater. So if you would say, Cody, I do want a relationship with the Lord. I don't have a relationship with the Lord right now. I do want a relationship with the Lord. I do want to trust Jesus, and I want to see what he has for me. And guess what? You ask him, you call on him, he's going to reveal himself to you. And you're going to be like, this is nuts. Because it is. It's true. This doesn't come from my mind. So if you'd say, Cody, I do want that. Man, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand right now. No shame. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to clap with you. All right. Awesome. Well, if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, just repeat this prayer after me. But then you guys who are believers, which are most of you in here, according to that altar call, I have something for you. So bow your heads with me, repeat this prayer. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I repent and ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me. And I just receive that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those who clap, let's clap it up. Give it up. Okay. One more thing, guys. This is important, and this is going to recognize most of the room tonight. If you are a believer and haven't stepped into that passion or that vision, man, I want you right now, I want you just to raise your hand and just say, man, I want to step into that vision. If you haven't, come on, guys. I know I didn't until I was in 10th grade. If you want that for your lives, raise your hand with me tonight. I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. Clap. You can clap for that. That's good. This isn't like supposed to be an uncomfortable thing, man. This is just stepping into what God has for you. I want to pray for you tonight. God, I pray for every single person. Keep your hand raised if you want that. God, I just pray for every single person with their hand raised tonight and those who should have their hand raised. And I pray, God, give them a passion and a vision inside their hearts. Let them hear from you tonight. And let them have passion, have faith, and hear from you to pursue such an amazing, amazing thing you have planned in store for them, for their school, for their work, and in their lives. We just thank you, God. We thank you for this time. We praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Thank